This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We're continuing on the series, Jesus Revolution. And of course, Jesus needs to be making a revolution in each one of our lives. In other words, we revolve around Jesus. Jesus doesn't revolve around us. Amen. And I love that. And we're learning a little bit about Jesus, the different characteristics of Jesus. And we discovered that the Apostle Paul, he was an educated man, but, you know, his focus, even when he preached in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, he says, "I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So Paul had a desire to know Jesus more. And I'm going to encourage you to get to know Jesus more. Amen? And I really believe the more we know Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. So you can say the more you know the Word, the more peace, the more joy, the more love you're going to walk in, the more attributes of God you're going to walk in. And I want to walk in the attributes of God. We discovered on the first week that Jesus is our best friend. Somebody say, Jesus is my best friend. And we discovered that he's our high priest. And Jesus still is doing ministry today. And you can say, well, what is Jesus' ministry? He is a prayer warrior. He is praying for us in heaven. So Jesus is our high priest. And he's praying for us. And I like what it says in Hebrews 4:15. It says, this high priest, talking about Jesus, of ours, understands our weaknesses. He's faced with all the same testings that we do, yet without sin. So Jesus, we discovered that he went through all the hardships that people go through, but yet he did not sin. He's our sinless sacrifice that went to the cross. And so he's our high priest. Amen. We also found out that Jesus is a miracle worker. How many people ever needed a miracle in the house or maybe believing for a miracle? Well, Jesus can do miracles. And he's not the God of I was. He's the God of I am. And he's doing miracles today. Do you believe that today? And in Luke 1:37, it's spoken here, with God, nothing will be impossible. Say, nothing's impossible with God. Amen. So all you have to do is believe. Somebody say, I'm believing for miracles. And so God still can do miracles and work miracles in our lives, in every arena that we're believing him for. And then we found out that Jesus is our shepherd. And I love that. And I love what it says in Psalms 23. He's our shepherd and we shall not want for any good thing. Amen. And I love that. And in John 10:11, it says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. So Jesus gave his life. The greatest love, Jesus said, is to give your life for your friends. But Jesus did not only give his life for his friends, he gave his life for his enemies. Oh, I'm preaching this morning. Because at one time, we were enemies of God. And you might say, I was never an enemy of God. If you were living your life for yourself, running your own life, if Jesus wasn't the pilot of your life, if you were running your life, then you were basically an enemy of God. And so we become friends of God when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Somebody say, I'm a friend of God. And I don't know about you, but I want to be on God's side. I don't want to be against God. I want to be with God. Amen. And I know you all are with God because you're watching and listening to me today, and you're in it. Amen. To win it. Praise God. And then we found out that last week, Jesus is our resurrection and life. And, you know, I love that because Jesus got out of the grave. Jesus overcame death. I like what Jesus said to Martha. I believe he said this. He says in John 11:25, he said, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. I love that because that promises eternal life. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not, when you die, you're not separated from God. You are connected with God. I love that. So it's just a transition. So death should be nothing that we should be afraid of. It should be something that we're looking forward to. I'm preaching to somebody today. Death should be something that we're looking for. Every day that we live brings us closer to eternity. Amen. And I, some of you I know are in the 120 club. What is the 120 club? You're going to live to at least 120 years of age. Amen. You're going to live a good, long, full life. Amen. 120. Somebody say 120. Amen. So I'm believing for if Jesus tarries, that I'm going to be here for a good long time. But you're not going to be feeding me, you know, food with a spoon. Glory to God. I'm going to be able to eat my own food. I'm going to be strong and healthy. Amen. I love that. And then John 2:19, Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. I love this, talking about Jesus, the resurrection and life. Jesus said, if you try to destroy, you destroy my temple, he actually said, I will raise it up. Now that's pretty bold. That's pretty strong. Jesus knew who he was. And when you get a revelation of who Jesus is and who Jesus is inside of you, there's nothing you can't accomplish in this life. You believe that today? I love that. So I love that. So today I want to focus on, and this is Healing Sunday, and we're focusing on walking in divine health. Now, we're going to always get attacked every once in a while in our physical bodies because we have physical bodies, and so we are subject to the elements of this world system. We are currently living in a cursed world system. Are you aware of that? That things don't work right all the time. That things break down in this world. They don't break down in heaven. They don't, you know, there's everything in heaven is perfect. And there's no sick people in heaven. Glory to God. All healthy, whole people in heaven. And that's what God wants us to walk in. He wants us to walk in divine health. Glory to God. And so God's perfect will is for you to walk in divine health. To go from glory to glory, not from glory to valley, back to glory. No, God wants us walking from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And it's God's perfect will that we walk in divine health. And the reason why I'm saying this to you, because there's a part of the body of believers that believe that some believe that sickness is a gift from God. But sickness is not a gift from God, is a curse from the devil. Can I get an amen here? It's not God giving me something to teach me something to make me more pious so I can get closer to God. Hopefully you can get closer to God without sickness attacking your body. Hopefully it doesn't take sickness to say, well, I better crack open my Bible. You know, sometimes it does take that for some people. You know, you get sick and, you know, you get a problem, then that's why you need to pray, right? But why not pray before you get the problem? That then you keep the problems from coming. But a lot of times the problem pushes us towards God. And that's the way it works. And my pain brings us into prayer. Amen. But if we pray, we may not go into pain. Amen. So God's perfect will is healing. And I love this in Isaiah because I can't talk about healing without giving you a pinnacle scripture about healing in the Old Testament. And this is what we call a messianic scripture. Messianic means talking about the Messiah. And this scripture talks about the Messiah. It's in Isaiah 53:4-5. And if you're going to walk in divine healing, you need to study this scripture. You need to study what Jesus has done for us. And it says in Isaiah 53, this is the Amplified Classic edition that I'm reading out of. Surely he, Jesus, has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. What does that mean? If he bore our sicknesses, we don't have to be sick anymore. If he bore our weaknesses, then we can have his strength. If he bore our distresses, we don't have to be stressed out. Amen. We don't have to walk in some of the things that the world walks in. What are you saying, Pastor? Are you saying that we don't have to walk in, we don't have to have down days? No, you don't have to have a down day. Every day can be up in God. Can I get a witness in the house today? You don't have to be subject to the elements of this world system. You don't need to be subject to your feelings. No, you're subject to faith. Faith is always looking towards God and should always bring you up. Amen. And it says here that Jesus bore our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, carried our sorrows and pains. Amen. Or of punishment, yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. I love that. So everything that Jesus did up to going to the cross, getting scourged 39 times and having thorns placed on his skull and all the things that he had that was done to him was for a reason. And that was for our total deliverance. Somebody say total deliverance. Do you believe you can walk in total deliverance? You have to believe that you can be delivered from anything that the enemy is trying to put on you. Jesus came to restore us. Jesus is the great restorer. He came to turn around what the devil tried to put on mankind. Amen? And he's turning things around in our lives, even as I minister today. I love what it says in Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When evening has come, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. I love that. So Jesus delivered people from demonic oppression, and he healed the sick. And then it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. What am I saying to you? These scriptures are saying it's God's perfect will for you to walk in healing. These scriptures are saying that Jesus paid the price so that we could walk in divine health. Amen. And in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, and he himself bore our sins on his body on the cross that we might die to sin, live to righteousness. I love that. But for by his wounds you were healed. Notice that Peter said that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And he included that in our healing. In other words, when you start walking with God and you put down sin and you start walking upright before God, that will promote healing in your life. Can I get a witness in the house today? Sin will always bring sickness into a believer's life. Righteousness and right living, right thinking, right speaking will always bring healing into our lives. You believe that today? And so what he says is that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. As Christians, you know, as Christians, you can still sin. Amen? As Christians, you still can sin willingly. Amen? But your heart doesn't want to. But you can override your heart. Your feelings can force you into some areas that's not good. But by the power of the Spirit, you can walk away from sin. By the power of the Spirit, you can walk in righteousness. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house? And the closer I get to God, the further I want to be from the devil. The closer I get to God, the further I want to be from sin. Amen. The further you're away from God, the closer you are to the world. Amen. So we don't want to be worldly Christians. We want to be spiritual Christians. Amen. I love that. And let's look at this because, you know, one of the another key is that it's Jesus' will for every person to be healed. I believe that. It's Jesus' divine will. And for you to say, well, it's not always Jesus' will for everybody to be healed or walk in health, then if you get sick and you go to the doctor, then you'd be going against God's will. Amen. If you believe it was God's will for you to be sick, then you wouldn't want to try to get well, right? But everybody naturally, always when they get sick, want to get well. So that should be that should show you that it's God's will for you to be healed. Amen? In Matthew 8, 1 and 3, it says, when he had come down, talking about Jesus, from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was clean. I love this about Jesus was that Jesus didn't interrogate the leper. He didn't ask him about his past life, how he lived his life, how close did he live to God. No, he didn't ask him anything about that. No, Jesus said, I am willing. So I'm going to say this. Anytime you come to God, that's a sure sign when you're praying or coming to God, that's a sure sign of a repentant heart and attitude. In other words, you're saying, God, I need you. God, I need you more than I need the world, or I need, you know, things that will comfort me. I need your comfort. I need you. And so this leper basically asked Jesus, would you be willing? And Jesus said, I am willing. Jesus is always willing to set us free, to deliver us. And of course, he did this on credit before he went to the cross. Jesus healed people on credit. And then he completed it when he went to the cross. I love that. So credit's not bad. Amen. As long as you pay it off every month. Amen. We'll continue. So God is good. Number two, God is the author of healing, and the devil is the author of sickness. So God is the author of healing. In John 10:10, Jesus is speaking. And he says in John 10:10, it's the thief that does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So some people say that this is the dividing line of the Bible. And so which means that the thief is the one that Jesus talked about is the devil. And the devil is the one that steals, kills, and destroys. What does sickness do? It steals from your life. Amen. It steals. It kills. It can kill your relationships. It can kill your, the purpose and the plans that God has for your life. And it can destroy your life. So we see here that the devil is the author of sickness. And Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I love that because abundant life is health. Abundant life is wealth. Did you say wealth, Pastor? Yes, Jesus became poor that through his poverty we may have more than enough to meet our needs and to help other people. Is that right? So Jesus became poor that through his poverty we may have something to help people with. Amen? Glory to God. I love what it says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That word oppressed is another word for sickness. if you're oppressed of the devil, that means that you're dealing with some kind of torment that the devil is afflicting you with. And so to be oppressed by the devil, that means sickness is oppression. So sickness is oppression. And Jesus came, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So this reveals to us that Jesus took sickness off of people and oppression off of people to reveal God's perfect will for their lives. Jesus is the great restorer. And he's in a process. Right now, your life may not be perfect. Maybe you're still struggling in some areas of your life. But if you stay with Jesus, he will get you through the tough times and get you into some good times. You believe that today? Amen. I love that. And then I love what it says in James 1:17, talking about the will of God for you to walk in abundance. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, whom there's no variation of shadow or turning. I don't understand how people can get mad at God. There are people that get angry with God because they're in a circumstance. They may be sick. They can only get mad at God if they think God is doing it to them. They can only get angry with God if they think that sickness is coming from God. But if you realize sickness is coming from the devil, don't get mad at God. Get mad at the devil. Because it's the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But there's people, there's many people, even Christians, that misunderstand who God is. And they hear a sermon, well, God put sickness to take that brother home, you know, to get him sick and because he needed another angel in heaven. You know, that is religious preaching, but there's no biblical precedence behind that type of preaching. No, God doesn't need another angel. We don't turn into angels when we go to heaven, by the way. Angels or people are two different categories. Amen. No, we're redeemed ones. We're new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. I love that. And so God doesn't need another angel in heaven, glory to God. He has enough angels. He has already created enough angels. I don't even know if he's going to be ever creating any more angels. But we are going to be judging angels. So angels have their purpose, and we have our purpose. Amen? And so we understand this, and I'm trying to drive in the point that sickness comes from the devil. In Luke 13, 10 and 16, the woman bound by Satan. Let me just read this account. It says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues, talking about Jesus on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Somebody say 18 years. Could you imagine being afflicted with a spirit of an infirmity for 18 years? That's a long time. Some of you might be dealing with something for a couple months and you're about had it, you know. But think about 18 years, and she was bent over and could not, no way, raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, I don't know, maybe she glorified God before she got healed, but she glorified God after she got healed. I'm going to say this, when God invades your life, it should do something to you. It should make you want to worship him. When God invades your life, you should want to go to church. You should want to worship him. You should want to give him some praise. Can I get a witness in the house today? When God does something in your life that's good, you should give him some glory. You should give him some praise. As she said, as she was made straight, I want to say this. You never know when the blessing's going to drop in your life. You don't know if this Sunday could be your miracle Sunday. You don't know when you come to church. She was there for 18 years, being faithful, being her best, showing up. She wasn't making an excuse. She could have made an excuse and said, well, I got an infirmity. I got the devil attacking my life. I can't go to church. No, she went to church in her affliction. But guess what? She left church free. She left church upright, glory to God. Jesus healed her after 18 years of her being bound by this devil. Amen. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and said to the crowd, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore come to be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. You know, he just tells it like it is. He's in church, and this guy, this pious, religious guy, is saying, you shouldn't be healing people on the Sabbath. That's the best day to heal people. Yes, it's the Sabbath is supposed to be a day of rest. Woo. If it's a day of rest, you should be resting from disease. Amen. You should be resting from affliction. There's no rest in affliction. There's no rest in disease. That is the perfect day for healing. Can I get a witness in the house today? Sunday morning is the best day of the week, in my opinion. Sunday morning, why? Because you get to hear the word of God, and hopefully you get set free more and more and more. And I love what Jesus said, you hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, somebody say, I'm a child of God. A daughter of Abraham, whom Satan, notice this, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath. I love this. She was set free in church, glory to God. Jesus set her free, and he said, ought this woman, a daughter of Abraham, be set free on the Sabbath. I'm going to say this, that we have a greater promise. We have a greater covenant. Aren't we, who are children of the Most High God, be set free of any affliction that the devil tries to put on each one of us? We ought to be set free. We ought to walk in freedom. Can I get a witness in the house today? Because you hear preachers preach, well, just have a good attitude in your affliction. I'm not against a good attitude. But you don't have to stay in your affliction. Some people say, well, I have a Job's ministry. Well, if you do, then you're going to get double for your trouble. And Job got healed. Job didn't stay sick. Job got healed. Amen? So if you're saying you got Job's ministry, get ready for healing and get ready for double. Job didn't stay in his affliction. He came out of his affliction. Is that right? Can I get a witness? And I'm going to say this to you this morning. You're coming out of it. Amen. Whatever the devil has trying to bind you with, you're coming out of whatever problems the enemy is trying to put on you. Do you believe that today? Yes. You might be dealing with some degree of curse, but you're coming out of that curse in Jesus' name. God has provision for healing, even in the Old Testament. I love what it says in Malachi. This is talking about Jesus because Jesus is our restorer. He's our healer. It says here, but for you who fear my name, does anybody fear God in the house today? The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out of a pasture. I love this because this is talking about Jesus. Jesus will come with healing in his wings, glory to God. I love that. So the condition of healing in the Old Testament was to walk with God, to obey him. In Exodus 15:26, it says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep his statutes, I will put none of these diseases. Of course, it's put in here as a causative sense instead of a permissive sense. And the way it should have translated, is, I will permit none of these diseases. Not that I will put, but I will permit none of these diseases to be put on you. In other words, God will not permit disease to come on you. But if you walk in sin, if you walk in darkness, then what comes through that can be sickness. That's why I want to walk right with God. Amen. And so really, that's the key. So if we serve God with all our hearts, I believe that will promote healing and longevity in our golden years. Have you ever heard about the golden years? I was talking to my mom last night. I said, Mom, have you ever heard about the golden years? She said, I've never heard about the golden years. That's the years after your retirement. Glory to God. Called the golden years. Amen. That's the years. Hopefully you saved up enough gold to keep you going for the rest of your life. Amen. Glory to God. And I love this in Deuteronomy 34:7 says, Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear and he was strong as ever. So if Moses was an Old Testament man. Moses wasn't under the new covenant that we're under. Moses had this, you know, he may have had the spirit upon, but he didn't have the spirit within. You have the spirit within. If Moses could live to 120 years of age and his eyesight was clear and he was strong as ever at the end, why not me? Why not you? Can I get a witness now today? Yes, Pastor, you're preaching some high faith this morning. Well, listen, I'm preaching as high as I can. If you just meet some of it, you don't have to meet all of it. Just get to a certain level in God. And God wants us getting to higher levels in Him. And I love that. And God, if He can heal yesterday, He can heal today. For the Bible says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So God changes not. If He was the same healing God in the old, He's the same healing God in the new. Do you believe that today? We have a better covenant based on better promises. In Hebrews 8:6, it says, but now He obtained a more excellent ministry, insomuch as He also is a mediator of better covenant, which was established on better promises. We have a better covenant than the old covenant. We don't have the blood of bulls and calves and sheep. We have the blood of Jesus working for us. That blood that they use to cover their sins, Jesus' blood washes our sins away, puts us in a great place with God. I love that. So we need to walk in God. So if you're going to walk in the new covenant by obeying God, there's only two things you do. You love God and you love people. If you're going to walk in healing, divine healing, you must love God and you must love people. Amen. And the direct correlation, if you study out 1 John talks about loving your brothers and sisters. And when he says, when you love your brothers and sisters in Christ, it's akin to loving God. And when you're not loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, then you're not truly loving God. Amen. I'm preaching this morning. My preaching is better than your amen and amen. So we need to be loving one another. Look at your neighbor and say, love one another. For that's the fulfillment of the commandment, is to love one another. Glory to God. Now I'm going to close out by giving you four ways that God heals us. Four ways that God heals us. You ready for this? Amen. Number one, God heals us through the name of Jesus. Can somebody say the name of Jesus? God can heal us through the name of Jesus. In other words, just cry out the name of Jesus. The Bible says, call upon the name of Jesus and you shall be saved. That word save means healed, delivered, and set free. So some of you might need to call out on Jesus whenever a symptom hits your body. Amen. Don't call out a curse word when you feel pain. Call out Jesus. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Don't be cursing your circumstance. Worship and praise God. Call out Jesus. I love that because it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 16, that Peter and John was going to the temple called Beautiful, and there was a lame man that was walking there. And so Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I do have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." And I love that. And in verse 16, you know, the people, he actually rose and walked, this man that was crippled, and it was by the power of the name of Jesus. Jesus can heal cripples. Jesus can heal the blind. Jesus can heal the lame. Jesus can heal the disease-ridden. Jesus is our healer, glory to God. And I love what Peter said. He said, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed. And you know how he was crippled. He was before. Faith in Jesus has healed him before your very eyes. So if you just have faith in Jesus, have faith in Jesus' name. That name is above every name, the Bible says. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. I love that. So in the name of Jesus, somebody say the name of Jesus. Number two, you can be healed through anointing oil being placed on you, confession, repentance, and praying for others. It's kind of a three key prong here. In James 5, 14 and 16, it says, if anyone among you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Notice it says, anoint them with oil in the name of Jesus, and pray, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he committed any sins, it will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So to break this down, when somebody like an elder in the church anoints you with oil in the name of Jesus, you get a couple benefits. Say a couple benefits. One benefit, you get healed. Number two, you get your sins forgiven. Come on. That's a good benefit. So you get healed and you get your sins forgiven. And then if you kind of go out and if you're afflicted, find somebody that's sick and pray for them. And if you pray for them, you can get a healing too. Because whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. What you sow, you will reap. If you sow laying hands on the sick and you sow healing, what are you going to reap? Healing. Is that right? So if you pray for the sick, some of you might need to start praying for the sick. Some of you might need to go out and pray for others that are sick. Why? So you can reap a benefit. So you can reap a blessing. Start with your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your neighbors. Start praying for people, glory to God. Number three, if you're going to receive healing and walk in healing, God can do it through spiritual gifts. Somebody say spiritual gifts. We are a church that believes that spiritual gifts are still in operation today. Spiritual gifts did not go out with the apostles. Some denominations will teach you, they'll try to dumb down the Bible, and they'll try to tell you, well, when the last apostle died, that's when the last miracle was performed. Some people believe that the miracles died with the apostles that Jesus raised up. When the last apostle, John, died, then all the miracles went. I don't know about you, but you can't sell me that bag of goods. I'm not going to buy that. I'm believing that God still can do some miracles. I'm believing he still can do some healings today. Do you believe that today? And he can do it through spiritual giftings. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And here in verse 9 through 10, it says another gift is faith by the same Spirit. Faith means it's not natural faith that God gives us to believe. There is a supernatural faith God gives us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's a gift of faith. And that gift of faith can speak to a dead person and cause that dead person to be risen. Amen. That it's called a gift of faith. It's the faith of Jesus. God can give you the faith of Jesus. You believe that today? It's actually Jesus. It's a spirit, the Holy Spirit speaking through you in such faith that you have no doubt in your heart that it won't take place. That's called the gift of faith. When you speak it, it happens. And it says, by the same Spirit to one another, the gifts of healings. And so there's another power gifts that can operate in the church. It's called gifts of healings. And the Holy Spirit can move through a person and get somebody healed through that gifting. Amen? And it's by the same Spirit, another working of miracles. Now, a lot of times these gifts, they work, you know, together. Sometimes a word of wisdom will work with working of miracles, and a word of wisdom will call out something that somebody will call out something that's sick, that might have an infirmity, maybe cancer of something, and then God heals. And so a lot of times God gives these giftings to evangelists that are preaching to the lost, because miracles are the dinner bell to the lost. In other words, when the lost people see miracles, they believe. They believe that God is real. Glory to God. And also, healing can be not only through the giftings, but through the power of the spoken word. Somebody say the spoken word. Amen. And I love that, because the word of God can bring healing to your lives. If you just speak the promises of God's word and expect His word to work, it will happen for you. I like what it says in Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner and thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the word of God is living. Somebody say, the word of God is living and powerful. And it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. What does that mean? The word of God can cut off any negative thing in your life. It's like a sharp sword that will cut off any disease that's attacking your life. And then in Proverbs 4:20, talking about the power of the word, that the word heals. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to all their flesh. God's word brings health to our bodies. Can I get a witness in the house today? Jesus is the word made flesh. Jesus is the word incarnate. Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. So Jesus is the word. Jesus healed when he had his physical body, and his word can heal your physical bodies. Do you believe that? It's like medicine to our bodies. If you just read and study the healing scriptures, it will bring healing to your bodies. Glory to God. And then number five, one of the key ways to receive healing, and this is, I love this, is through praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Somebody say praise, thanksgiving, and worship. And so really, that is one of the most powerful ways to receive healing from God. I love what it says in Psalms 8:2. It says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. So here the psalmist is saying that praise will shut down the voice of the devil. What is the voice of the devil? Pain. What is the voice of the devil? It's whatever affliction that's happening in your body. The devil wants to make that louder than the word of God in your life. And when you make the word of God louder than the pain or the affliction, then that pain has to shut down. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I love this pertaining to worship. It says here, back to Matthew 8:23, it said, behold, a leper came, and notice it said, and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. So what promoted, I believe, Jesus healing the leper, saying, it's my will for you to be healed? The leper worshiped Jesus. Think about that. Worship precedes healing. Can I get a witness in the house today? Worship precedes deliverance. What am I saying to you today? I'm saying to you today, if you're dealing with something, start worshiping God. Start giving him some praise. Well, how can I give him praise for what I'm dealing with? Give him praise for who he is and for what he has already done. Give him praise that you're not going to get your healing, that you're healed today. Give him some praise, amen? Give him some worship, glory to God. I love that. And it said the leper worshiped him in Matthew 15, 25 to 28. It's the woman that had a daughter that was vexed with a demon, and it said that she came to Jesus and she worshiped him. And then of course he said, you know, it's not good for me to cast my the bread of healing to the dogs. And she said, even the dogs eat from the crumbs of the master table. And then Jesus said, great is your faith, your daughter is healed. But what promoted that healing? I believe because she worshiped Jesus and she called him master. Is Jesus your master? Is Jesus your Lord? Because when you make Jesus your Lord and your master, he is the master of healing, and you can walk in that healing because he's your master, glory to God. So we see here that praise and thanksgiving will promote healing in your life. I remember my mom, she was healed, and then the devil tried to come back and put symptoms on her body. She never heard she was in the Methodist church at that time. She never heard a message that disease came from and sickness came from the devil. She never heard that. Some people think everything just comes from God. Whatever comes down the road in your life, God is promoting that. But that we know that's not right and that's not true. Not everything comes from God that's happening in your life. Amen. Amen. Well, God's sovereign and everything that's happening in my life, God's promoting it. No, God's not promoting every negative thing that happens in your life. He can turn around bad for good, but he's not promoting the bad. He's promoting the good. Amen. And so my mom got this, the Holy Spirit spoke to her, and when she received that pain that came back on her, the Holy Spirit said, that's the devil. That's interesting. The Holy Spirit told my mom the pain that she was dealing with was a, so what did my mom do? She took some music, like she plays a little bit of an organ. We have an organ at the house. She started playing worship music. And as she started playing and singing to the Lord, the symptom left. What am I saying to you today? I'm saying when you start, instead of complaining, you complain, you remain, you praise, then you'll be raised. And if you stop complaining, stop focusing on your prayer and the problem, and start focusing on the promise, and start thanking God for the promise, instead of getting upset about the problem, you will walk in the blessing of healing in your lives. You believe that today? So you can praise your way into the blessings of God. And how many praisers do I have in the house today? And listen, the Bible says in James 1, count it all joy when you encounter trials and tribulations. For God is perfecting and will bring glory out of what the enemy is trying to do in our lives. And what's going to happen is when the devil brings a pain or affliction or disease and God heals you, you'll be a walking testimony of God's goodness, and people will see that God is a good God healing people and not killing people. Amen. Did you receive it today? Yes. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God. Your word says all good gifts comes from the Father of light above, where there's no variable shadow of turning. And we know all good things come from you. Healing is good. And you want us healed, you want us delivered, and you want us set free. And you really want our souls to be delivered from the bondages of the evil one. And perhaps you're here in the audience or you're watching online, and you know you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you need to bow your knee to Jesus today. For the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So I want to lead you in a prayer that will help you move forward in your walk with God and make Jesus your Lord. Just say this after me and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and my healer. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.